from Delray Beach, Florida, welcome to Life Change Weekend with Dr. Dino Padrone. Hear the stories of individuals who, through their conversion experiences, books written, ministry served, special truths from Scripture, or trips taken, tell their story. These stories and teachings are life-changing. So thank you for joining us, and get set for some life change. Here is your host, Dr. Dino Padrone.
Thank you so much, Aaron, and welcome into our program today. On this weekend, we're glad you're listening in. Monday through Friday, we do our Bible studies. Then on Saturday, we always bring in a special guest and have a time of discussion about what God's doing in their life. Sometimes it's someone that's recently been saved, somebody who's written a book, perhaps it's someone that's traveled somewhere, or perhaps through a professor. People that God is using in a wonderful way, and we're so glad to have on with us today Greg Rumo, and I'll officially introduce him in just a moment here. I do want to remind you and thank all of you for your giving this year to our ministry. If you want to give a year-end gift, that would be wonderful. I encourage you to continue to pray for our people in Myanmar, the pastors there that we support. There's a number of students there that we are training, serving in Myanmar. And also, I'll be praying for our pastors in Africa. We have a number of pastors that we support there, and we thank all of you for your help with all of that. I'm so glad to have on with me today Dr. Greg Rumo, dear friend. My goodness, we go back way, way back when I think of how you and I met, my dear friend. And that was back in the other generation, wasn't it, Greg? Thank you for being on. Tell us a little bit about our acquaintance to begin with.
Yeah, that was last century, wasn't it? I think we met sometime in the 1980s. We were attending Madison Avenue Baptist Church in Paterson, New Jersey, where the late Dr. Clarence Sexton was the pastor. And every year during the fall, the church had what was known as the Northeast Baptist Bible Fellowship. You were invited to speak every year, and it was at one of those conferences that we met for the first time. We became good friends. And you actually had the temerity to invite me to sing at your church during one of your own conferences. And we would see each other from time to time at various preaching conferences and somehow managed to stay in touch through all of those years.
Yeah, it was great memories. I remember how you and I connected. I remember Peter Ranieri and others that were there. Of course, Clarence Sexton was a dear friend, and we appreciate his ministry. He moved on into Tennessee, and I remember I thought about coming to your church there for a while. We prayed about it. Didn't feel it was God's timing at the time. But you started there, and you were very involved there. In fact, you had quite a business going on there. Well, tell us about your business, if you would.
Yeah, actually, I'm still connected. So I was the CEO of a pharmaceutical company that represented foreign manufacturers of what are called active pharmaceutical ingredients, which are the raw materials for generic drugs. And the specific market that we sold those raw materials into were for animal health products. So all of the cattle and the hogs, the poultry are medicated to keep them healthy. And it was quite a good business. So I left that job and moved to Florida in 2017. But I still am a minority owner in the company, a director, and I still do some consulting. Although it occupies very, very little of my time right now because I am a full-time chemistry professor at Palm Beach Atlantic University.
Yeah, Palm Beach Atlantic University is very fond of my heart, too, because my daughter graduated there. She went 1 year to another Bible school and transferred there. She had a wonderful experience. And my daughter-in-law, my newest daughter-in-law, she's also a graduate of Palm Beach Atlantic. And I remember, I got to tell you the story. I remember when I took my daughter to the school, and the place that she was at for a year was way out in the kind of the a town in upstate New York. It was very gloomy from about September to May, and there's this beautiful college on a university campus and overlooking the bay. And I said, honey, I don't think you'll ever learn anything here. This is too pretty. And but she went there and she had the time of her life, really enjoyed it. So I was delighted to hear you going there. You and I had talked a number of times, by the way, of you becoming a professor, and you looked at some other areas of calming down. What was it that drew you into this idea of being a professor?
It had to be of the Lord. I mean, when I was a graduate student, so I went to graduate school for my graduate degree in chemistry at Fordham University. And even since college days, when I was an undergraduate, I loved teaching. I tutored students that were behind me. I did it for free, just love in my heart to see the lights come on when students finally got it. I was a teaching assistant and a lab tech in college for three of my undergraduate years. I went to Fordham University for my graduate degree in chem, where I earned a teaching assistantship there. So I was teaching undergraduate organic chemistry lab. And that was just always my desire and my goal. But when I left graduate school, life got in the way and I went on a detour through a number of different positions. I had a research position. I had a technical position selling oil field chemicals. I was an environmental chemist for a number of years at a chemical manufacturing company. And then I went on into the management side. I got an MBA in finance and I ran the company that I'm still consulting for. But all the while, deep in my heart, I wanted to not only teach chemistry, but I wanted to move to Florida and I wanted to teach it at a Christian university. And it was something I could never get away from, but I never could quite fulfill it. And I had a false start once back in 1999 or 2000. We just didn't believe it was the right time. And I continued on in the role I had as a CEO until finally the Lord opened up the door and we were able to move to Florida, and I got this position at Palm Beach Atlantic University.
Yeah, it always amazes me how God slowly and gradually works in our lives, and He gives us a vision. We're ready to jump on it, and God says, wait on me. And I think that's true with all of us. Speaking of chemistry, I have one of my granddaughters just started at UCF. She's in her first semester. She had to take one semester of chemistry. I should have called you, by the way. She said, if I can get through this, I'll get through everything else. And she got through it. I just saw her just a few days ago home from for her vacation. She was excited as she could be. She got through chemistry.
it's not for the faint of heart. It's really not.
That's what she said. And I don't think she's planning on revisiting it too soon. Now, you got a doctor of ministry degree eventually, and which is wonderful, by the way, from Knox, I think, right? Knox University?
Knox Theological Seminary in Fort Lauderdale, yes.
Yeah, Knox. That's a very, I think that it was, wasn't, did James Kennedy start that school? Is that correct?
He did. And I guess it grew out of the ministry from Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church, where mm-hmm. he was the pastor for a number of years.
Yeah, he was an amazing leader, Christian, not just in this area, but in the entire country a few years ago. And so you got a doctor of ministry. So obviously there's a ministry heart that you have. Did you ever think about going on for a doctor of chemistry? Or how did that work out?
I initially, right after undergraduate, I got a teaching assistantship to Fordham for the PhD program. When I was attending there, the university, unbelievably, ran into some accreditation issues, and the administration advised all first-year students to stop at the master's level. So on graduation, I turned down an offer for a full doctoral fellowship to study chemistry at Rutgers University. And I guess if I have one regret in my life, it's not finishing my PhD in chemistry. But had I continued and graduated with a doctorate in chemistry, the meta-narrative of my life might have been completely different from what it is today. And so I say, while I have regrets, I bow the knee to God's sovereignty and humbly declare that His way is perfect. Through the years in between then and now, I looked at doctoral programs in business, education, and leadership. I took two doctoral classes at Liberty University in higher education and spent a week at another university in the Midwest earning doctoral credits in a leadership degree. But none of these disciplines satisfied my desire to advance my academic career. So when I finally settled on a doctoral program in ministry, I realized that this was what I was looking for. A DMIN is not quite an academic degree like a PhD, but it's a practical degree. And I already had in mind what I would write for my dissertation. you know, a DMin dissertation is called a final project. All I needed was to find a sound biblical seminary with a program that would admit me and allow me to utilize the research from my multi-year case study of reaching Generation Z with the gospel as the basis for my final project. So Knox Theological Seminary graciously admitted me, and I graduated with a Doctor of Ministry degree in May of 2024 in theological apologetics. It turns out that that kind of a ministry degree is the perfect accompaniment to the two chemistry degrees I already have. This blend of science and theology allows me to integrate a biblical worldview into the science courses I teach with a deeper theological understanding.
That's a wonderful explanation and frankly, a wonderful story. I'm so delighted to hear all of that. And very, very proud of you and very thankful that God led you that like that. If you're listening into Life Change Weekend, this is Dina Padrone chatting with you. I want to remind you that you're listening in to Dr. Greg Rumo, my very good friend, a professor at Palm Beach Atlantic, and a number of other wonderful projects that he's involved with. And we're delighted that he is with us today. I do want to remind you also, and we are very thankful for many of you who sent emails and letters to us through the broadcast. Here's just a few. Here's a note from the Philippine Islands from a wonderful Christian leader there. He said, can we please use your posts in the Filipino language here for our people? Of course, we said yes for that. This one is from Africa, where it says, thank you for your prayers and helping us with the building project. This one is from Pennsylvania. I so enjoy your post, just what we need when we read them. This one is from Pakistan. Our church always looks forward to your teaching on live stream. So we're so glad to hear from so many people. We thank you for sending notes in. That's how we know that you listen. And if you want to be in our mailing list, of course, you can get our mailing list information. The place to connect with is 433 Plaza, Real Suite 275, Boca Raton, Florida, 33432. That's 433 Plaza, Real Suite 275, Boca Raton, Florida, 33432. You have written, Dr. Rumo, a number of wonderful books and booklets. I was looking down through the list of some of them, and I know that's always been a burden on your heart. You're so articulate, and I think you would be excellent to continue on writing. Is that a plan for you to continue writing, by the way?
Well, I still write newspaper columns from time to time, but not as often as I used to. A number of Florida dailies run my columns on their op-ed pages. For example, I recently had a Thanksgiving-themed column published in the Orlando Sentinel. But since accepting the position at Palm Beach Atlantic University, most of my writing has been on topics in higher education, undergraduate research, and the intersection of science and the Bible. They're published in online venues such as Christian Scholars Review, Minding the Campus, and the Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation.
And are you planning on continue writing through those organizations?
I do. I just recently reviewed a book on Science, God, the Evidence, which is it's not a new book, but it's newly translated into the English language. It sold over 500,000 copies in Europe. So that's the latest book on that intersection of science and theology. And yes, I do plan to continue writing.
That's wonderful. I'm really glad you are. 500,000 copies, that's terrific. You go back, way back in your life, as I do, to a lot of the old-time independent Baptist churches and fundamental organizations. You and I have both been a part of all of that. How did that affect your life, some of those various ministries that you were a part of? You know, Gary Coleman, of course, Dr. Sexton, and others.
Yeah, I jokingly refer to myself as a slowly recovering fundamentalist, but I can never forget the foundation that I learned in those kinds of churches, independent Baptist churches. I was a member of two of them in my life. And really, I think the most important doctrines, and not just doctrines, but lessons about character, conduct, and conversation, I learned from people like Dr. Clarence Sexton, you mentioned Gary Coleman, from Clyde Box, from A.V. Henderson. Those are all of the different preachers that would come and share God's word with us from time to time. When we moved to Florida, we joined the Baptist Church in West Palm Beach, First Baptist Church in West Palm, where we're still attending, but that's a Southern Baptist church. But really can't tell the difference. I mean, they're just as fundamental as any of the other good fundamental churches that my family were members of, going all the way back to the first time when I became a Christian.
Now, they have a different name now, don't they, that church, or am I wrong?
Yeah. So their model is to come alongside struggling churches in areas in Palm Beach County and north along the Treasure Coast and revive them, let's say, but with our brand, which now is Family Church. So if they come alongside a struggling First Baptist church, let's say, in another town, they can't call themselves First Baptist because that church is already First Baptist. But when they come with the brand of Family Church, it just makes sense. It's still Southern Baptist, and it's still fundamental in its theology. And the branding and the whole approach has worked very well. We now have 20 family churches that have fanned out from the downtown location, downtown West Palm Beach, literally next door to the campus of Palm Beach Atlantic Universities, and all the way up the Treasure Coast. So each church has its own pastor and its own culture and its own style. They all preach similar kind of a message every week, but it's, you know, the pastors get to add their own flair to the message, so to speak.
Yeah, I'm very familiar with them in some ways up where we live. I know there's a church, I can't think of who it is right now, I talked to recently, who are planning on having them, I think, take over their property there. Christ Fellowship, of course, you've heard of that, a large ministry is similar in nature. When we were at New Testament, you remember when I was at New Testament Church
in Miami, right?
Yeah, and we had three campuses. And we were one of the first doing that kind of a model. It's a very interesting model, and we pray God's wonderful blessings upon it as they continue. Tell us a little bit about your family.
Well, yeah, so we have four children, two biological boys, John and James. They're in their 30s. John is married. He lives in Queens, New York. James, our younger son, is in his mid-30s. He's profoundly deaf. He lives in West Hyattsville, Maryland, but he works for the Secret Service in Washington, D.C., as a financial analyst. Mm. Then we adopted two girls from China, Rebecca and Rachel. Rebecca, actually both of them just graduated from Palm Beach Atlantic. Rebecca in May of 2024, and Rachel literally is just graduating now and is going to pursue a master's degree. Mm. So we adopted them from China in 2003 and 2005. And they have just been the joy of our life. And I joke with some of my female students on campus because I teach almost exclusively females because I teach chemistry to nursing students. And I tell them that God gave me two girls to prepare me to deal with you girls in class.
Very good. I think all parents understand some of that very well. Yeah, now let's, I'm going to make another real quick break here, but be thinking about, I want to talk a little bit about your books that you've written and how people can get a hold of you. You're listening into Life Change Weekend. This is Dina Padron chatting with you, with my good friend, Dr. Greg Rumo from Palm Beach Atlantic, a dear friend for many, many years. And I do want to remind you to continue to consider supporting our ministry here, as we especially are needing support for the pastors in Myanmar. We have 10 pastors there that we support. We send them regular finances about every quarter of the year. And we thank the Lord for all of you that send to them. And we also are helping pastors in Africa. Most of these men have very substantial churches already, but they have very little education. And they're receiving a theological education through our ministry college. And so if you want to help us financially with that, would it be wonderful? You can simply go to our webpage at dinapadronministries.org and send up it through PayPal, or you can send us a check, as many of you do, at 433 Plaza, Real Suite 275, Boca Raton, Florida 33432. That's 433 Plaza, Real Suite 275, Boca Raton, Florida 33432. Now, you've written a number of books. I wrote some of them down here, but I want you to just kind of give us a few. I know you write articles, you write for newspapers. I think it's fascinating, the stuff that you're doing. There aren't many people who have your theological experience, theological education, and the type of training you've had in the sciences, which is very unique. And I think what you write is very worth reading for people. So tell us a little bit about what you have written.
Yeah, when I lived up in in New Jersey. Actually, I started in New York. I sent some photographs of some wildflowers, believe it or not, to Gannett Westchester Rockland newspapers. And the woman who got the photographs in the mail, she called me up and she said, "These are gorgeous, but we need a story." I said, "What do you mean you need a story? You need a story. We can't just publish these photos." I said, "Okay, when do you need it by?" She said, "Tomorrow." I said, "Are you kidding me?" So that's how I had my baptism by fire into journalism. So I wrote a number of feature articles for Gannett, Westchester, Rockland newspapers, and they actually used my photographs on the cover of their Sunday magazines, which was kind of prestigious, and they paid quite a bit of money back in the day. But that kind of whet my appetite for writing, and I figured, boy, if I could just do this on a whim, just sending photos to a newspaper, what could I do if I really put my mind to it? So I started, I was hired by North Jersey Media Group to write a regularly occurring opinion column from a conservative biblical worldview for their opinion page, because back in the day, there were no conservative Bible-based columnists that were actually full-time employees of the newspaper. So I did that for a while, and then I moved to the religion page, where I wrote a paid column called An Evangelical View. And for several other newspapers in New Jersey that ran my columns, and one editor paid me the funny comment once. He said, you never know what Rumo's going to write about next, but you always know exactly where he stands. Because I had a very, very strong opinion, very sharp pen, and some people even said a very big mouth. But that was what newspaper editors like. They like readers to have reader reaction. So if your listeners are interested, if you just type Gregory J. Rumo, The View from the Grassroots, most of those opinion columns and feature articles have been published in books by that title. They're anthologies of published newspaper columns. But my new book, Reaching Gen Z with the Gospel in the College Classroom, is written specifically to college professors teaching at Christian colleges who may be looking for ideas about how to reach their students for Christ more effectively. And I suppose the book might also be helpful for youth leaders dealing with Gen Z young people, as it addresses their specific generational needs. And, you know, the majority of students on college campuses currently are members of Generation Z. They're the most stressed cohort to ever embark on their journey through higher education, reporting the highest stress level of any generation in the country, according to the American Psychological Association, as well as the highest suicide rate. So this is the field right under harvest into which God has called professors at Christian universities. But are they up to the challenge of reaching their students for Christ? So my university provides a unique foundation for me to build a program to effectively reach students with the gospel. So the book I wrote details the results of research into how I accomplished this through faith integration in the classroom and laboratory, practicing radical hospitality in the school office, and offering missional opportunities through short-term mission trips to the developing world. So the methods in the book, although designed to reach students in science classes, can provide a template for any professor looking to effectively reach students in any discipline with the gospel.
That's an amazing story. It really is. I'm so glad you're doing that, and I'm glad you're writing. We need you. I just want to encourage you. We need you writing. People need to read what you write. And I'm thankful for that. You've been listening into Life Change Weekend. This is Dino Padron chatting with you, my good friend Greg Rumo from Palm Beach Atlantic University. And we have had you on, talked to you and I about getting on this program for a long time because of schedules. But I want you to know I want you back on again. And this is the kind of information that many, especially young people, need to hear. And I'm so glad that you have committed your life to this kind of a task. My friends, let me remind you that Monday through Friday is our Bible study. I do the Monday through Thursday, and then occasionally we have on Fridays some of our team come on and do the Bible teaching. But life change means just that. God can change our lives. He can do something different in our lives. And our lives can be brand new when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ and we begin to grow in sanctification and see what it is doing in our hearts and lives. So I want to encourage you to stay tuned to those Bible studies. And for, again, many of you that send us notes and emails and some contributions in, especially for these pastors and workers that we support. Thank you so much, and have a wonderful, wonderful week. And may God richly bless you, and enjoy the church that you go to tomorrow. I trust it's preaching the gospel, because that's what we all need. Have a wonderful, blessed weekend. God bless you, my friends.
You have been listening to Life Change Weekend. Life Change is brought to you through the International Dino Padron Ministry, which includes radio, television, live stream programming, podcasts, literature, online education, the support of indigenous ministries, and progressive approaches to help people grow their faith. To receive our complimentary monthly newsletter, send your postal or email address to dinopadrone@gmail.com or dinopadroneministries.org. That's dinopadrone@gmail.com or dinopadroneministries.org. Stay tuned to our weekday Bible study Monday through Friday. Thank you for joining us, and we'll be with you next week on Life Change Weekend.